lot of texts from the Bible today, because what I'm going to talk to you about is Seventh-day Adventist church history. And there's not very much of that in the Bible. There's some predictions about it, but no details. The opening scripture is Psalms 11, verse 3. And it says something very interesting. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Good question. If the foundations of your faith are destroyed, what's going to happen to you? Well, you're going to be that house that was built on the sand, friends. And storm and tempest are going to sweep away the structure. And without saying any more, and since he's already told you that I'm going to talk about this book, I'm going to get these books up here. Now, I wouldn't have bought this book. This is the New Questions on Doctrine. Nice, big, fancy book. I was in hopes it would never be reprinted. But it's been reprinted. And it belongs to the Adventist Classic Library, which is a tragedy. I'm going to give you some background. You know, God is never taken by surprise. So before the first version of that book was brought out, this is the original, God did something special. He had the men at the Review and Herald publish this book. And if you can find one, get one. On top of that, since it was just about the Depression time and the ministers were poor and the Book and Bible House wanted to make money, they didn't ask us whether we wanted one or not. They sent it to us and took the price out of our paycheck. So every preacher in the North American division and perhaps overseas also, I don't know, got a copy of this book. This book's title is Facsimiles of the Two Earliest Seventh-day Adventist Periodicals. And what they did was they went back and they printed the very first things that were published by Seventh-day Adventists, and they bound them in this book. It's a priceless book, especially if you want to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, God knew what was going to happen. So he prompted the brethren to publish this a few years before it happened. Had the Adventist ministry read and studied this book, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today. But when I mentioned this to ministers in ministerial meeting in the Washington Conference, they looked at me and said, where'd you get that book? And there was one African-American pastor there. He says, I remember getting it. He said, come over to the house. I'll see if I can find it during the noon hour. I went over to the house, and yeah, he had one, all right, in his basement, in a trunk, on the bottom, and it had gotten all wet. Yes? I don't know. I don't keep up on that type of thing anymore. But I would suggest that you get the book. Now, the reason that you need to get the book, I'm going to read to you. This is another little book that they published at the same time. And it's A Word to the Little Flock by Ellen G. White. If you can get that, get a copy and read it. Now, in here, interesting statement. Let's see. I had another copy of it, but mine, it's all marked up, but I don't see it, so I'll have to go by the one that's not marked up. And that may, I have to look for it. At the bottom of page 12 of this little book, that's okay, I got it. It says something very interesting. I believe the sanctuary to be cleansed at the end of the 2300 days is the New Jerusalem temple of which Christ is a minister. The Lord showed me in vision more than 1 year ago that Brother Crozier had the true light on the cleansing of the sanctuary, etc., and that it was his will that Brother C should write out the view which he gave us in the Day Star Extra, February 7, 1846. Now, it was first published in 1845. Some brethren made some suggestions, so he republished it and edited it a little bit, and it was published in this in 1846. That's how many years after 1844? This is February 1846. What was the date in 1844 that Adventists go by? Come on, you people know that. October 22nd, 1844, right? And that's how many months before the end of the year? So less than 2 years after the disappointment, friends, it says, she says that God had this man write this article, which was published in the Day Star Extra, February 7, 1846. Now let's see what her attitude toward this article is. I feel fully authorized by the Lord. Whom? GC president? Well, there wasn't any general conference president. The brethren? The committee? No, I feel fully authorized by whom? God. That's a good feeling, friends. Do you feel fully authorized by God? I feel fully authorized by the Lord to recommend that extra to every saint. Are you one of those saints? Are you one of the saints? All right, it's recommended, friends, that you read the article. It's recommended. And I'll tell you, friends, I'm so glad God's in charge. He gave us a copy of that article in this book that was published and sent to every preacher, and the layman could buy one if they wanted to. I'm trying to find the date it was published, but I don't see it here. But it was it doesn't give a date this was published. But friends, this was published when I was a minister, and every preacher got a copy. Every conference person got a copy. Now, why do you suppose God had that article that she fully recommends to every saint and says she was authorized by God to recommend it? Why do you think it was republished? Well, simply because there was a movement in the Seventh-day Adventist Church to do away with it. It's in the back. It's a rather complete article. It goes for page after page after page. I don't think that he left out a single text that has to do with what the Adventist Church believes on the doctrine of the sanctuary and its cleansing, which is the special truth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Isn't it? Methodists don't preach it. The Catholics, Presbyterians, Baptists, Pentecostals, nobody else but Adventists ever preached this message that in 1844, what did Jesus do? He left the holy place and went into the most holy place to begin what? Well, we call it the investigative judgment, or the closing work of his ministry for the salvation of human beings. And during that period, friends, your name's going to come up, and God's going to check the record and see whether you get into heaven or not. This is the special truth of the Seventh-day Adventists. Nobody else preached it. We were ridiculed, made fun of, all kinds of things because we preached it. And I'm trying to find the place I want here. I thought I put a marker there. Yes, here it is. And in, after he presents dozens and dozens and dozens of texts, you see, he didn't have any spirit of prophecy when he wrote this article. Can you imagine what it's like not to have any spirit of prophecy? No testimonies, no great controversy, no desire of ages, nothing. All they had, friends, was their Bibles. So he goes through and he comes to some conclusions. I'm going to read them to you. After he's talking about the atonement now. It says, but again, they say the atonement was made and finished on Calvary. What did he say? The atonement was what? Made and finished where? On Calvary. So men have taught us, and so the churches and the world believe, but it is none the more true or sacred on that account, if unsupported by divine authority. Perhaps few or none who hold that opinion have ever tested the foundation on which it rests. Now think about it. The atonement was made on Calvary, and this man says no. Isn't that what I just read to you? Well, I'll read the rest of what he has here. Number one, if the atonement was made on Calvary, by whom was it made? The making of the atonement is the work of a priest. But who officiated on Calvary? Roman soldiers and wicked Jews? Number two, the slaying of the victim was not the making of the atonement. The sinner slew the victim. After that, the priests took the blood and made an atonement by doing what? Sprinkling in the sanctuary. Number three, Christ was the appointed high priest to make the atonement, and he certainly could not have acted in that capacity till after his resurrection. And we have no record of his doing anything on earth after his resurrection which could be called the atonement. Next one. The atonement was made in the sanctuary. But Calvary was not such a place. Was it? Is it a temple? No. Next point. He could not, according to Hebrews 8:4, make the atonement while on earth. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Isn't that what it says?